Foreign Company. And he was involved in wartime finance during World War I. He worked international contracts on armaments and as an advisor to some of the New York investment firms and where they could locate types of manufacturers and railroad capacity in the Middle West. And by the end of the war, he was very well connected, and W. Averill Harriman, who went on to be the ambassador to London and Russia and so forth, asked him to head his investment firm in 1919, which became known as W. A. Harriman & Company. And George H. Walker was the prime mover in getting Harriman into a lot of businesses in Germany and Russia. And some of these were pursued with the collaboration of the U.S. government, and a number of people who'd been in intelligence and other things were done sort of against the wishes of the government. But they did get involved in such varied things as trying to rebuild the Caucasus oil fields in the Soviet Union, which were only 400 miles north of Iraq. So the focus on oil in that part of the world goes back 8 decades. The other thing they did is they set up a series of relationships with Germany under the general collaboration of the Thyssen steel interests. And to make a long story short, some of these relations may have had something to do with the arms flow into Germany, but it's very difficult to prove because there were interlocking directorates between George H. Walker and some of his friends and the Remington Arms Company and the National City Bank, and there's a chart in the book that shows these things. More than that, there was a company involved in this relationship, a Union Banking Corporation. And it was a bank that was owned by a Dutch bank, but owned behind the facade of the Dutch bank by a Berlin bank. And during the 1930s, money went back and forth from Germany to the United States and back again, and nobody has the records of it. So there's nothing you can prove about what might or might not have been done. But in 1942, the alien property custodian, after the United States went to war, seized the assets of Union Banking Corporation. At the time they seized the assets, one of its directors was Prescott Bush, who was the grandfather of the current president. Now, I should add that this is not really what it seems. The relationships with Germany, while it's very hard to say that there weren't some games going on in the 20s and 30s, by that point they weren't. Prescott Bush and his partners had asked the New York State banking superintendent whether they should get out of the board of directors of this firm because a war might start, and the Herald Tribune had a big article on the front page, and that was the big Republican newspaper of New York, that actually mentioned this bank's relationship with the Nazis and listed Prescott Bush as a director. So while a lot of the stuff on the internet is totally off the wall, it is not off the wall to say that Prescott Bush was a director of a bank with German connections at this period of time. But probably they were collaborating with military intelligence, because the family had a considerable record going back to the World War I period. And I should mention that the other Bush great-grandfather at this point in time was the father of Prescott Bush. And his name was Samuel Bush, and he was the president of Buckeye Steel in Ohio. Now, he was an associate of the Rockefellers. The president of Buckeye Steel who preceded him, his name was Frank Rockefeller. He was John D. Rockefeller's younger brother. And a share in the Buckeye Steel Corporation was owned by Standard Oil, and Standard Oil had helped the Buckeye Steel Corporation to get contracts with railroads to provide railroad equipment, because Standard Oil basically told the railroads that let them carry oil for Standard, but they had to take Buckeye Steel Corporation railroad equipment. So it's one of the typical happy robber baron family relationships back in this period. And the notion that the Bushes were just ordinary folks from the plain old Midwest and so forth is, to use a well-known phrase, a crock. So in 1917, Sam Bush, the head of Buckeye Steel, goes to Washington, where he becomes head of the Small Arms, Ammunition, and Ordnance section of the War Industries Board. In short, he regulated Remington Arms and other companies like that. And he leaves at the end of the war, and he goes back to Ohio, and he keeps up with the whole crowd that was involved in wartime regulation, as did George H. Walker. And their Sam Bush's son, Prescott, was also George H. Walker's son-in-law. And he got involved in a lot of the same group of people, and they were close to the intelligence and State Department and War Department people in World War I. They remained close in the 20s and 30s. And it's entirely plausible for me to believe that even when they had this relationship to this odd German held bank, that it was done with the full knowledge of the intelligence community, and it only conveys how closely they were involved, and I'm reasonably sure of it, with the intelligence crowd. Now, to go to the next level of the family, which is where we get really interesting, the next layer of the onion is the intelligence and War Department and State Department and future CIA linkage of George H.W. Bush himself, the 41st president, the father of the current president. Now, maybe he got involved with the CIA when he was at Yale, but the probability is that he got involved with the CIA when he started working in the oil business. And he worked with Dresser Industries, which did have a CIA connection, and his father had been a director of Dresser Industries, Prescott Bush. And then he worked with a company that he set up with his uncle and with a family called the Lidkeys, and this was Apana Offshore. This did offshore drilling in the Caribbean and in the Persian Gulf and elsewhere. Now, in the late 1950s and the early 1960s, the CIA was enormously interested in the Caribbean because there had been they'd overthrown a government in Guatemala that was friendly to the communists, and you had the rise of Fidel Castro in Cuba. So there was a lot of interest in surveillance of Cuba that could be run from the Caribbean, and one assumes from what was there, and there's no proof. I mean, this is all hearsay and circumstantial evidence. There's no firm proof that the Zapata Offshore probably handled some things for the CIA, and probably did so in the Bay of Pigs situation in 1961. Now, before we jump to the Bay of Pigs and the connections that were involved there, we have another little situation, the connections between the Bushes and Cuba. George Herbert Walker, the Joe Kennedy equivalent of the Bush and Walker families, was a board member of nine